Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who will be listening around the world. And those of you who are listening around the world. And in this session, this time together, we're going to be thinking in terms of lordship and indwelling. And our scripture is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Now, of course, as I always tell you, I will be reading from the New International Version. This allows English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. So, we're looking at Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Paul is writing, and he says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live accordingly to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Now, before I get into the teaching, let me touch on a couple words that are found in the scripture. In verse 20, it says, "But our citizenship." And in the original, that is, if you were reading in the King James, that would say our conversation. But conversation there does mean community or citizenship. The other word I would like for you to look at there is the word "in," when it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." I want you to think of that because the word "in" there means a position, a place, time, or state, by implication, an instrumentality. That's in heaven, and it is a relation of rest. Now, you would say, what could I mean by rest? Remember that God created everything in 6 days, and then on the last day he rested because it was finished. So he rested. And so there is rest in heaven because it is finished. And so now let me go on into the teaching, because this is, again, a part of the series that I'm doing on what God told me regarding what sojourners were to be. And this applies to all Christians as well. But this, we're thinking about the lordship and indwelling, because he said to me, "Sojourners, submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit." Now, again, when I was following the leading of the Holy Spirit by developing the Sojourners Fellowships brochure, I was preparing to write a doctrine statement when suddenly the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't produce a doctrine. The doctrines of men divide the body. I'll tell you what to say about those in Sojourners Fellowships are to do." And that's when things really began to happen there. He said, then, you see, it was then that I realized doctrine is not necessarily a marching order. And what I really wanted was marching orders, and I hadn't really understood it that way. Then I was taken to Jeremiah 23, to the section on woe to the shepherds. I must tell you, I was a little taken back when I was first reading where I had been sent. I was wondering, what had I done wrong to receive such a strong rebuke? Then the Holy Spirit said, tell the people they are to do what these shepherds had failed to do. The sojourners with you are to be doers and not just hearers. My people are to be people of action, my action through them. Believer and unbeliever alike are to see my glory flow through them in power. So I realized at that point that sojourners' fellowships were not to be just another place to hear a message and go on about your life. That's where the Lordship comes in our time together in this session. Believers, all believers, and sojourners are certainly in this group, are active followers of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice here the word Lord. I am using means supreme in authority. Now, if Jesus is your Lord, then He must be supreme in the authority in your life. Now you say, oh yes, that's right, you know, because I know I shouldn't steal, and I know I shouldn't do this, and I know I shouldn't do that. You're missing the whole point. Because Jesus didn't come to bring law, He came to fulfill law. You see, the Scripture calls heaven the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom has a king, and Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, just as Isaiah said. So that means He must be the supreme authority. You see, I may be the Lord with a little L of my life, but Jesus is the Lord with a capital L, a big L, over my lordship, little L, of me. You see, He has to be over that. And if the being the Lord of your life would be spelled in your life with a capital L, and that Lord is you, you have missed it. You've fallen short of what God wants for you. When I accepted Jesus, and when I accepted Him as the Christ, I came under His lordship by choice, not by deception and force. It was by simply choice. Now, our adversary Satan uses deception and force to demand lordship over people, but the light of Christ exposes the deception, allowing trust to bring in an informed, willing decision. Why? Because the light of Christ has come in. So we make an informed, willing decision who is Lord, and that would be with a capital L, in a person's life. This is one of the major struggles that people face, even after accepting Jesus as Savior, because they somehow oftentimes miss the lordship part. Lordship means He's in charge. He's calling the shots, as we say in America. He's the one that we must follow. It's very strange for us in America to think in these kinds of terms, because we weren't raised in a kingdom in the natural. And so we think that we have some say in the government. But in the government of Christ, our say is to be, yes, sir. That's our say. Because He wants and has only what's best for us, and He created that for us. And if you want to hear some more about that, listen to some of the earlier parts of this series. When in today's language we think of the word perfect, Paul used in our scripture, a very different sense rather than complete, which is actually the Greek meaning, comes to your mind or my mind, I'm sure. We don't think perfect as complete. Think about that for a minute. Many see the use of the word perfect as being without error which is true. And, in a sense, when we think of a construction or a work of art, we are given a much better understanding of the idea of perfect as complete. Imagine now a painting in front of you, but it's never been completed. Well, if it wasn't completed, it wouldn't be perfect. But you can look at the painting, if the artist who painted the painting is satisfied with it and it is complete, then it is perfect. Because who's to say it's not perfect? It was the artist that put it together that has the right to say what was the finished work and what wasn't. So, that's a very important thing to understand. So when it is complete in the Creator's eyes, it is perfect. Think for a moment of the definition of sin as falling short or missing the mark, which is the correct meaning for sin. So if we fall short or we miss the mark, then we wouldn't have completed a particular thing. We wouldn't be perfect in that sense. And I think it's so important for us to understand sin in that regard. But we must allow Christ to work in and through us. You see, Jesus attained our righteousness for us. This is important to understand because remember what I said about missing the mark. And I was with a person just today who opened up their Hebrew Bible and read to me from Hebrew about the meaning of sin, and they said these very words that I just said. They said that it means falling short and missing the mark, as in an archer having a bow and arrow and shooting toward the target and missing it. But praise God. I mean, my friends, it's this way. If you're in Christ, then you have been made perfect in Him. If you've been made perfect in Him, it's as though you hit the center of the bullseye every time, because that's the way God will see you and looks at you if you're in Christ, if He is indeed Lord of your life. Very important. Paul exhorts believers to walk in what they already are seen as possessing by God. You see, God already sees you as possessing all of this. When a believer minds such a great a salvation in their thinking, they will behave in accordance with their condition and position with and in Christ, not to attain it, but actually do just to being in it. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that if you understand who you are in Christ, it's a very important thing because, you know, one of the early saints in the church, and this is, of course, you know, back just a few hundred years after Christ, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a work called The Imitation of Christ. Now, understand here, I'm not talking about the pretending of to be Christ-like. I'm saying being Christ-like in what we do, empowered by Christ Himself to do that, because we are in a condition. If I'm in another country, and when we accept Christ, we come into His kingdom, then if I'm in another country, I'm in that country. I'm not thinking about being there. I am there. And I fall under the customs and the rules and the way things are done there. That's the same thing that happens when we accept Christ. We must come into His kingdom and allow the working of His kingdom to be in us, because He is the one that gives us citizenship, or we become subjects in that kingdom, and therefore we have all of the rights within that kingdom. So we are something. Now, we may press on to learn more about that kingdom, but nevertheless, we're still in it. When you were born in the country you were born into, you were a citizen of that country. You may have to grow up and learn things and learn how to function within that, but you were still a citizen of that country, were you not? So when you are born again and you are born into the kingdom of God, He is your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. And then a marvelous thing happens. Because when born again, Jesus sends the Comforter. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. That's the indwelling. Remember I said this message is Lordship and indwelling. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then, is the imitation of Christ. You're just doing what He does. It's not fake. When you hear imitation, you may think fake. No, no. Do you understand that if you are in the kingdom, if you are a Christian, and you are not behaving as a Christian, then you are faking it because you are being something you're not. Let me run that by you again. Do you understand that if you have accepted Christ and you have come into His kingdom, and then you behave as though you were not in His kingdom, that's where you're being fake. You're not being fake when you're acting like the Christian, because you are. That's the kingdom you're in. The falsehood is when you're behaving like you're not. Now you've got to wrap your mind around that for a minute. Because you're a new creature. The Scripture says you're a new creature. You're in a new kingdom. You're functioning there. So if you step back into, or you behave as though you're not a believer, that's a true hypocrite. Because you're faking something. You're not faking being a Christian. You're faking being a sinner. Now, I would say it's about the opposite of anything you've ever heard. But if you're a new creature and you're in the kingdom, the fake part would be when you were operating outside of that, as though you were not in Christ. So, therefore, it is easier for the believer to operate in the imitation of Christ than it is to be imitating the world, because you're no longer comfortable in the world. So, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then, is the imitation of Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing. The believer is not pretending to be something they are not, but are being what they have been given as anointed ones. So, if we're anointed ones, then we must be anointed to do something. When the Holy Spirit comes into a believer in power, it is at that point, they will be Spirit-led and empowered. Spirit-led and empowered. Here's another part of the Lordship, because if we follow the Spirit was sent by the Lord to be in us, to comfort us, to work with us, then we must yield to the Spirit of God. Why would we want to yield to any other spirit? Because that's the Spirit that makes sure that we hit the bullseye every time. We do not fall short. We don't miss the mark. Jesus, the Son, said He only did what He saw the Father doing. Remember that? If you've heard much Scripture, you've heard that at some point. We believers are to do only what we are prompted to do and empowered to do by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Do you understand that we relate in that way just as Jesus related to God the Father? He said He only did what He saw the Father do. We are to only do what we are prompted to do and empowered to do by the Holy Spirit. Now, when we become weary and when we become upset and when things just aren't working out, I will tell you, you let me spend a few minutes with you, and if you'll be candid with me, I will be able to show you how you missed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or how you have been pretending to be in the world when you're really in Christ. If things aren't just working out, I tell you, we will be able to find the place to repair the situation. You see, it is not the understanding of this fact which causes people to be Christians by philosophy rather than by real Christians. And that's a strong word, I know. But there are real Christians, and the real Christians are by relationship. Philosophical Christians are always seeking to maintain a decision. Listen to me here. Philosophical Christians are always seeking to maintain a decision to be better and more like Christ in their own strength and mind. In other words, they see imitating Christ as faking it until they make it. Rather, than the new creature whose mind has been and is being renewed by revelation through the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the way of the philosophy is of man. It's man's way. It's, I'm going to make myself good enough. Now that I've accepted the teachings of Jesus, I'm going to make myself good enough. Do you understand? That's got nothing to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's your own indwelling of your own mind. You have set up your own path. That's not what God sent the Spirit for. That's not what God the Father sent His Son for. He sent His Son for relationship. And He sent that to be renewed by revelation through the work of the Holy Spirit. The way of philosophy is of man, and the way of the Holy Spirit is of God. Very important. Let me say it again. The way of philosophy is of man. The way of the Holy Spirit is of God. Even if that philosophy is a Christian philosophy, if it's not done by the way of the Spirit, but by just saying, well, I think that's a good way to live, so I'll just live that way. I'll be a good person. You're wiping out what Christ did on the cross for you. The lordship of Christ, you see, this is where that lordship comes in. The lordship of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit complete the purpose of God. If it's complete, then what is it? It's perfect. We talked about that just a moment ago. The leadership of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit complete the purpose of God in a restored mankind, in a restored you and I. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. It's so important. And I would imagine that through your whole life you thought that the hypocrite was the person in the world pretending they were be a Christian. Well, that is a hypocrite. But also a hypocrite is a person in Christ behaving like they're in the world. It is the Holy Spirit. And listening to the Holy Spirit that keeps us on the mark. That keeps us, preserves us. Because through Christ we are saved, we are healed, we are delivered, and we are preserved. The lordship of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute. That is the way God set it up. That is the way the kingdom works. And the kingdom will never work for you as well as it can until you come to the realization that it's not philosophy, it's relationship. When I come to the judgment seat, I do not need a philosopher. I need a Savior. I need the Lord, and I need the Holy Spirit to have been in me throughout my days. Well, that's my message for this session. I hope this has blessed you, that you've got something out of that. If you say, well, I'd like to have this Christ. I would like to have this Holy Spirit in me. Then pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, I come to your throne. I want all there is of Jesus. Come in and fill my heart. I accept Jesus as the Christ. And fill me right now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I'm sorry that I've missed the mark, but I'm here now. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, my friend, you're now in the kingdom of God. Behaving and believing and thinking and doing and feeling as you did before is foreign. Being in the kingdom is a welcome home. Now, if you've prayed prayers before and maybe you prayed a prayer similar to that before and you've sort of fallen away, or you just know in your heart you're not what you once were in that regard, you just go pray that prayer to the Father again. If you want some help, if you want to know more about how that you live with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and submitting to the lordship of Christ, oh, gee, we'd love to help you. Contact us. You can contact us in the United States and Canada by phone by simply calling 800-391-6944. Now, also, if you're on the internet, you can just Google or whatever search engine you use that same phone number, 800-391-6944, and you'll find us. That will get you to our website. Or if you want to just do it the other way, you can just go to sojournershub.org. You go, wait a minute, how do you spell sojourners? That's why I gave you the phone number first. But let me spell it for you. I understand. It's SOJOURNER. So that's sojournershub.org. Then send us an email. You can email us at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Or if you're on Skype, you can contact us at thesojourner3734. We've given you many ways to contact us. We hope you will. We hope you'll listen to some of these messages over and over. Sometimes you have to really pause and think about them. You have to meditate on these things. Just hearing something once, it's like you wouldn't just eat one meal and say, well, I already ate a meal. You wouldn't just eat potatoes one time and say, well, I've already had potatoes, I won't eat potatoes again. Because you have to have a continual nourishment for your body to flourish. And my friends, you have to be into the Word continually. You need to be into the Word of God, reading the Bible. And you need to be listening to teaching over and over until it really becomes a part of you, until you can really understand it and work with it. So, this is a sojourner saying, that's the end of our session for now. I'm glad you were here. Please contact us if we can be of help. And with this blessing, I will conclude this broadcast. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.